All right, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to United Israel World Union. This is our Sabbath morning study. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to get right into the material today. I'm excited about the teaching. I think those that got here early enough saw the way I left it last night. I had books scattered everywhere, which is not so unusual, but last night I spent a lot of time working on the material for today's class. And I was wanting to teach it about 2 a.m., but I felt like most of you didn't want to get up that early. So I postponed it, but I've been waiting anxiously for the hour to strike where I could cover this material. Last week, we talked about and I covered what I called desire, his and ours. Desire, his and ours. And I worked through the text of the Hebrew Bible to focus on the subject of what is it that God delights in, and what is it that He does not delight in? I think both of those sort of go together as a package, and I covered the material. But each of these classes are connected in a way that often even I don't see while I'm preparing from one to the next. But I think through the week, I pray about it, I continue to study, and this is sort of an evolving series, though I'm not really good at planning the series ahead. So how long will it last? Hopefully another 60 years or so. But the idea is to bring out from the text of the Hebrew Bible the key essential points, those things which are the most important concepts and ideas and ideals that are presented in the pages of Scripture. And so I want to begin today's class by picking up with a text that we read last week. And in a way, this text sort of paved the way for what I was going to teach last week. And unbeknownst to me, it worked into the material for today as well. So go with me this morning. First thing, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And I want to read verse 22 and 23. Now, if you're in an English Bible, it's going to be chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9. Thus says Jehovah, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Jehovah, who, the English says, exercise faithful love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares Jehovah. In these I delight, declares Jehovah. Now, one of the things that stands out in this text is that it is, by its very presentation, bringing forward a contrast, if you will, of two ways. You might say there is a way that seems right to man. And then what is that way? How do we define the ways of man? You could say the ways of Cain, the ways of modern society. What is it that people generally lean on? And that would be wisdom, might, and riches. I mean, look at the world around us. These are the things that people tend to put their trust in their wisdom, in their strength, in their riches, their wealth. The way of God is contrasted in this particular text and throughout the Hebrew Bible, because according to this text, it says very clearly that the way of God, if you will, is defined very specifically according to three great fundamental foundational bedrock words. In Hebrew, those words are hesed. We'll talk about these today. I'm going to primarily focus on the word hesed today. Hesed, mishpat, and zedekah. Chesed, mishpat, and zedekah. They're generally translated steadfast love, or this particular translation translates hesed as faithful love, but generally steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. In the earth, Jeremiah 9 says that if you're going to boast, boast in this, that you understand and know me, that Ani Yehovah, that I am Jehovah who does these things. Because in these things, God says, I delight. Now, whenever it says understands, that he, if you're going to boast, boast in this, that you understand and know me. Understand there is the Hebrew word sechal at its root, sechal. Sechal can be translated in a variety of ways. It means to consider, to contemplate, to give attention, to ponder. It's something which provides insight. It's sometimes translated and associated with the word wisdom, but particularly it means to give insight. So what God is saying is that if we boast, to boast in this, that we understand, that we consider, that we contemplate, we truly think on these things, because this is what God desires. So it tells us that our focus ought to not be on the things that people would generally and naturally consider, contemplate, pay attention to. In other words, don't worry about those other things, the wisdom, the might, and the riches. But rather, we should put our focus, put our attention on the things in which Jehovah delights. Because it says that Ani Yehovah. Now, in Hebrew, it says doing chesed or making chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah in the earth, because in these I delight. Now, these things I talked a little bit about last week, but I want to really narrow the focus today. Now, I want to begin next. I want to go to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. This is sort of a recap, and then I'll roll into the material that I have planned and prepared for today's class. It says in Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6, "For I desired hesed and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Jehovah is saying here that he delights in chesed. He desires chesed. Now, I already told you that generally this is translated as steadfast love. We're going to talk about that. Now, I mentioned last week James's book, Restoring Abrahamic Faith, and I wrote this quote down. I keep it with me. He says on page 32, that this verse, this passage, it says, this is the way. All else is commentary. There is more theological truth in this passage that we just read than in volumes of books that people have written. Or if we really could get at the heart of this. So he goes on to say, we then come to our three great words, chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah. In these three, God himself delights. After all, they are the description of his very character as well as a prescription of his way for humankind. I want to begin with this thought. Number one, these three terms, these three words are in a way a description of God's very own character. And number two, they represent a prescription for his way for humanity. You could call these weightier matters. But these three represent what I'm planning to present today is that these words, and I'm going to particularly focus on one, represent the greatest words in Scripture. People could argue, they could debate, they could say, I don't know, the greatest word is God's name, you know, and so forth. What I'm talking about is these ideals, these ideas, these words are the greatest. Now, today I want to take a very close look at the word hesed, because I've taught numerous times on the way of God. And in that class, in the previous times that I've taught it, it seems, and I was thinking about this week as I studied and prayed and thought about this, quite often I would go directly to Mishpat and Tzedakah. They're used so many times, quite often together. Justice and righteousness. In fact, in Genesis 18, you remember when God is thinking to himself, he's walking with Abraham in Genesis 18, and he says, shall I tell to Abraham what I'm about to do? He says, yes, because Abraham will teach his children and his household after him the way of Jehovah to do justice and righteousness. And so generally when I teach on God's way, I've focused on justice and righteousness. They're so prevalent in Scripture. But I want to discuss the meaning of the term hesed and really get into and examine its many uses in Scripture. So today is sort of a very deep study of the word hesed. We're going to go through a lot of passages today which use this word hesed, and I think by the end of it, you'll have a better picture of what this most important word is really about. Now, the basic meaning of hesed, if you look it up in a standard dictionary or a lexicon or, you know, some language work of any repute, it will tell you that hesed generally means goodness or kindness. Goodness or kindness. That's your basic, most basic definition. But it at times is translated mercy, love, and then sometimes they'll try to get a little closer because one word, it's kind of hard to capture what the Hebrew chesed means in English. So sometimes you'll get a combination like loving kindness or steadfast love. They're trying to capture the essence of this all-important word. Now think about it. If we're defining the character of God, his very nature, his essence, and we have three primary words from Jeremiah 9 that are used to kind of capture it, you would almost expect that when you dig into these, they're very, very deep, all right? So I'm going to propose to you that based on my study, I looked up all the references to this word, tried to read all of these in context, and there are a lot. There are a lot of uses of this word, hesed, throughout the Hebrew Bible. But I can't separate the notion of loyalty, solidarity, fidelity. These ideas have to be associated with any definition in order to kind of get close to the meaning of hesed. And so I'll tell you going into this that I do prefer kindness in my understanding of the word. I think it means kindness. But I would also add the word steadfast. So I'm going to propose to you at the beginning, and we're going to work through these passages, many, many passages, and I want you to think about God's steadfast kindness, or you might say unwavering kindness. It doesn't waver. Steadfast. I like that word, steadfast, unwavering. So we're talking about the kindness of God. Now, just so you understand, so we're on the same page, because you might think, well, I know what that word means. But if you look up steadfast, it says, it's an adjective, and it means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. Resolutely or dutifully firm, and unwavering. So in the passage in Jeremiah chapter 9, it says, now generally it says he's showing these things, or I forget how, practicing these things, the Lord who practices. In Hebrew, it's osei. Osei means to do or make. So what it's really saying is that in the earth, God is doing and making three things: chesed, mishpat, v'tzedekah. Chesed, let's call it unwavering or steadfast kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. And that's what God delights in. All right. So whenever the translations will say that God is practicing or showing chesed and mishpat and tzedakah, I don't think that's quite it. I don't think it's close enough to what it's really saying. And I think, honestly, that it's wrong. So what it really says is that God is doing and making these things. Very important distinction. It might seem subtle, but I think it's all important. So we're going to talk about, first of all, doing and making chesed. Now that phrase, osei chesed, is used 17 times in Scripture. I'm not going to go through all of them, but let me give you a couple of the big ones. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Now, this exact passage is found in Deuteronomy 5. This particular comes from the 10 words, often referred to as the 10 commandments. In fact, I'm going to read verses 2, Exodus 22, Exodus 20, verse 2 through verse 6. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods beside me. You shall not make for yourself any carved idol or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, punishing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth of those who hate me. But notice in Hebrew it says, showing mercy to thousands of generations of those that love me and keep my commandments. In Hebrew it says, doing or making chesed, steadfast kindness, notice, to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So in Jeremiah 9, it talks about in the earth, God is doing or making chesed. Here in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10, it says the same thing. It says that God is doing chesed, steadfast kindness, to the thousands who love him and keep his commandments. Now, it's not that way for the wicked. In other words, it's not that God just does chesed in the earth. Now, there are things that benefit all of humanity, whether they love him and keep his commandments. They all get a sunshiny day. They can all, you know, sometimes those blessings pour over to all humanity. I'm talking about something very specific. There is a way that leads not towards God's steadfast kindness, but the way that does is indicated here. Those who love him and keep his commandments. Now go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I want to begin in verse 9. I'm talking about doing steadfast kindness. Deuteronomy 7, beginning in verse 9. Know therefore that Jehovah your God, he is God, the faithful God, who, this translation says, who keeps covenant and troth with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore guard the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Now, where it says, who keeps covenant and troth, in Hebrew, that's hesed. All right? So he's doing and making hesed, once again, to the thousands who love him and keep his commandments. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. Got a lot of verses to cover today, but I want to really make sure that these points come across. Verse 18, Jeremiah 32, let me begin in verse 17. By the way, this is a prayer of Jeremiah, and it begins, I prayed to Jehovah, verse 17, saying, Adonai Jehovah, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for you. You, in Hebrew, it says, Osei Hesed. You make steadfast kindness to thousands and dost recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, O great and mighty God. So again, notice we have this idea of doing and making steadfast kindness to those who follow God's ways. Now look at the book of Nehemiah. This is used in prayer a good bit, by the way. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'm just going to pick these verses up. And in verse 5, it begins, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God who keeps covenant and troth. There's our word again. Who keeps covenant and troth, that's hesed, guarding the covenant and hesed, to those who love him and observe his commandments. Notice in his prayer, he begins with, you are the God who guards the covenant and does hesed. And then he opens up with prayer. He asks God, let your ear now be attentive, your eyes open. But he approaches God based on his character. Think about it. This is important when we pray. You're asking the God who is one who does and delights in steadfast kindness. That's how you approach God. It's a validation of your own belief that God will act on your behalf because of his essence, you see. Now, while we're in Nehemiah, go to chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 32. Nehemiah 9:32 says this, Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keeps covenant and hesed, let not all the trouble seem little before you that has come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, on all your people, since the time of the king. And he goes on. So he approaches God. Once again, I want you to get this. Whenever he prays, again, he's appealing to God's essence. And we're going to work through quite a few of these. But it's also, go to Daniel. Let me just show you another example of this used in prayer. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9 and verse 4. And I prayed to Jehovah my God, this is Daniel, and made my confession and said, O Jehovah, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and hesed to those who love him and to those who keep his commandments, we have sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, we've rebelled and turned aside from your precepts, from your judgments, because we've not hearkened to your servants, to prophets who spoke in your name. You see the idea? So he's confessing his sins, but more importantly, he's opening with this idea that God is faithful, that God is steadfast, and therefore he knows that God will be attentive to his prayer. Very important. Now, go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 14. All right, 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heaven or on the earth who keeps covenant and hesed with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. I want you to notice, based on all these verses, that hesed is something which God does and makes on behalf of those who love him and keep his commandments, those who walk according to his ways. And we're going to talk about, as we work through, the goodness of God. You know, a lot of people say God is good all the time. God is good. God loves, God loves. You know, people have this certain idea. But what I want you to understand is that he favors those who follow his way. In Scripture, those whose heart is after him, who follow after him, it is they who receive the blessings and not the others. You see, this is the point. I think a lot of people take a certain aspect of God's character and invite themselves to participate without actually reading contextually that which is required. It's very important to understand that while God is doing and making these things in the earth, it's for a particular group. That's what I'm reading here. There is a consequence for behavior that is clearly indicated time and again in Scripture. This is his character. Go with me, Exodus 34. We touched on this one as well last week. We're going to just take it a little bit further. Exodus 34, verse 5 and 6, and Jehovah descended in the cloud and stood with him there, talking about Moses, and proclaimed the name Jehovah. And Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed. This is Jehovah declaring his own essence to Moses. Jehovah, Jehovah, mighty, merciful, and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in love and truth, keeping truth to thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Again, here we have this idea that God is doing hesed. His very nature is one which includes the Hebrew phrase Rav Hesed. Rav means abundant or much. So when you ask God to declare himself, to identify himself, to describe himself, he includes all these things: long-suffering, patient, so forth and so on. But he says, Rav Hesed. You know, of all the things about God, Hesed is the only thing which says he has much of. Rav Chesed. So a simple reading on my part suggests that this word, Chesed, represents in the closest way possible for us to comprehend that God demonstrates, his very character, his essence is one of much steadfast kindness. Now he's not one that just dismisses bad, right? But he delights in chesed. It says he doesn't delight it that a wicked should perish, but that they should all turn to him, right? All right. Rav Chesed. We're going to go through a couple of these passages. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse 18. Moses is going to refer back to this. He tells this to God. He's reminding God that this is God's own description of his ways. Numbers 14, 18. You spoke, saying, Jehovah is long-suffering, great in love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. You spoke. Rav Chesed. You said you were Rav Chesed. Right? So he's reminding God of this very thing. Go with me to the prophet Joel. Joel. And chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 12. Yet even now, says Jehovah, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Turn to Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in love, and repents of evil. Great in love. In Hebrew, that's Rav Chesed. Abundant in steadfast kindness. In other words, he's telling the people to repent of their wrong, and they can feel confident that if they focus on the heart and not the external. See, notice, you turn with your whole heart, with fasting and with weeping. What does he say? Rend your hearts, not your garments. It's not an external thing. Now, if as a result of an internal wrestling, you rend your garments, it's one thing. But he's saying, begin with the heart. And know that God is Rav Chesed. The same passage is in Jonah, chapter 4, verse 2. Let's look at a couple of the Psalms. I'm going to spend a lot of time in Psalms today. Go with me to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Verse 5, we're talking about the essence of God and what I believe is the single greatest word in all the Hebrew Bible. I think it gets us closer to understanding who God is by understanding this word. Psalm 86, verse 5. Verse 4, for to thee, O Jehovah, do I lift up my soul, for you, Jehovah, are good and ready to forgive, of bountiful love towards all those who call upon you. What do you think Rav Chesed is? Bountiful love. So he's saying that he knows that God is good. He's ready to forgive. Rav Chesed. That's how he knows that God is willing and ready to forgive, because he's Rav Chesed. Look at verse 15. But you, O Jehovah, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and bountiful in love and truth. Rav Chesed. This becomes one of the central phrases. It's used so many times in Scripture. It's in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 17, almost the same exact quote. Now, what's the result of this? We're gonna work through quite a bit, but I want you to look while I'm in the Psalms. I'll be in the Psalms probably most of the morning. Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And I think it's verse 7. Let's start in verse 5. This is the Hebrew. Verses might be slightly different. For you are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. It's not typically preached from pulpits across the land. You know, most people say, well, God loves everyone. Well, it says here, he hates all workers of iniquity. Now, he doesn't desire that he wants them to turn, right? So get that straight. You do destroy them that speak falsehood. Jehovah abhors the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your love. And in the fear of you, I will worship towards the holy temple. The idea, he's saying that he's entering into God's presence not because of his own righteousness, but because of God's Rav Chesed. It makes it possible for us to even approach God and seek forgiveness. God is a forgiving God. He wants to forgive. And it's this nature of his that allows sinful mankind to approach God. The very fact that he's steadfast in his kindness towards his creatures. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 13. Let's see. They who sit in the gate talk of me. You ever have anybody talk about you behind your back? And you know they're talking about you? You just know it, and they don't know that you know it, or they hope that you don't know it. Read the Psalms. Man, I've been living in the Psalms. I love the Psalms. People that, you know, my own familiar friend, you know, like you read these Psalms. Look, he says, they who sit in the gate talk of me. I'm the song of drunkards. Like your buddies are drinking and talking about you. But as for me, I'm not going to focus on that. As for me, let my prayer be to thee, O Jehovah, in an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your chesed, hear me. And in the truth of your salvation. So his point is, no matter what's going on around me, no matter who's talking behind my back, my focus remains steadfast. Because God is steadfast in his truth and in his steadfast love, kindness. In Exodus 34, verse 7, we read 34, 5, and 6. Go back to Exodus 34. And I want to pick up in verse 7. All right, if we read 6 again. Jehovah, Jehovah, mighty, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, Rav Chesed, and truth. And then it says, keeping or guarding, actually in Hebrew, it's notzer chesed. Notzer is seeking. I'm sorry, notzer is keeping or watching this steadfast kindness. To thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This idea of watching and keeping, and once again, chesed is associated with forgiving iniquity and transgression. Now go with me to the book of Micah, to the book of Micah, chapter 7. Micah, chapter 7. You know how to find Micah? You have to memorize all the books of the 12. And that way you can find it. Jonah, you find Jonah. The next one's Micah. You got to remember these things. See, that way you can find it. Go to Micah chapter 7. And we're going to verse 18. Micah 7, 18. Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not maintain his anger forever, because he delights in chesed. He will again have compassion on us. He will suppress our iniquities, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will show truth to Jacob, loyal love to Abraham. That word is chesed. As you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Notice the context of this passage deals again with the forgiving God. Who is like this God? Who forgives sin. And who is steadfast. Notice that it says his anger is tempered, if you will. He won't remain angry forever. Why? Because he delights in chesed. If he didn't have Rav Chesed, would be in trouble. Because it's his steadfast kindness, his unwavering kindness, which makes it possible for a person who has sinned to approach him. You can have truth. If truth were the only standard of measurement that God had, if right and wrong were the only means whereby he would do judgment, how many of us would stand a chance? Yes or no? Have you ever sinned? Yes or no? Have you ever done wrong? Yes or no? You know, if it's that. But because God is Rav Chesed, unwavering in his kindness and in truth. I think that's important. And I think it's important that Rav Chesed is mentioned before truth. It's almost as if to say, he's much, much steadfast in his kindness and truth. That's interesting as over the years in the broadly defined Torah faith movement, people find a little bit of truth. I watch this. I recognize it because I used to be like this. And you beat people up with it. Because our focus is to be true. By God, the Torah says this, the Bible says this, and you're a pagan and you're wrong. And, you know, because truth is our, we love to beat people up with truth. But very few of us have steadfast kindness. What if we sought to proclaim the truth, but we did it with love? See, that's the way God is. I mean, if God judged us the way we judge others, wow, because we tend to beat people with truth. Think about that. Go with me to Psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 103, beginning in verse 9. Psalm 103, 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Well, these are good points. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. Everybody ought to be thinking, amen. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his chesed, his steadfast kindness towards those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so Jehovah pities those who fear him. Notice the key ingredient there. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, like a flower of the field, so he blooms. The wind passes over it and it's gone. Its place knows it no more. But the hesed, the steadfast kindness of Jehovah, is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Okay? You see, it's for a particular group. It's so great. He hasn't accounted to us our sin. Why? Because of his steadfast kindness. Me'olam va'ad olam. It indicates the steadfast nature of God's hesed. It's translated from everlasting unto everlasting. From an indeterminate age to an undetermined age, his steadfast love, his steadfast kindness, unwavering kindness remains. Look, it's everlasting. Now, I want to show you something. This is something I discovered last night, and it's one of my favorite things that I've ever seen in Scripture, and I hope I can convey it. We say that God is good. I want to show you something associated with hesed. See, sometimes I tell you, sometimes hesed is translated as good. But there's a word in Hebrew that's better representing of our English good, and that's tov. So rather than say that hesed means tov, I'm going to tie the two together the way Scripture ties them together. Go with me to Jeremiah 33:11. Jeremiah 33:11. These are some examples. Let me see if I want to start in 11. Let's start in verse 10 at the white space. Thus says Jehovah, again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man, without beast, namely in the cities of Judah and in the desolate streets of Jerusalem that are without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, this is a key phrase, praise Jehovah of hosts. For Jehovah is good because his steadfast love, his hesed, endures forever. The reason, Jeremiah says, the reason this is coming back, the songs in the street and the, so forth and so on, because people are going to say this, praise Jehovah of hosts, because Jehovah is good, and then you go, why is Jehovah good? Get this. Because his steadfast kindness endures forever. Now, this phrase, kitov, because his steadfast love endures forever, let's look at a few verses. I'm going to roll through these pretty quickly because there are so many. But I want you to get, when I finish with this rapid review of these phrases, you're going to be saying this phrase in your head all week, hopefully. You should be so thankful to Jehovah. Why? Because he's good, because his steadfast kindness endures forever. All right, here we go. Psalm 106. And I'm not getting all of them. Hallelujah, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah because he is good. Hodu Jehovah kitov. Ki leolam chasdo. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah for he is good. Why? Because his steadfast kindness endures forever. Go to Psalm 107, verse 1. This is a very repeated phrase. It's used by kings and common folk, and it should be used by us. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, ki tov. Ki leolam chasdo. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his steadfast love or kindness endures forever. Now look at this, verse 2. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so. So you ought to be saying this. You ought to memorize this in Scripture. Hodu lehova ki tov. Ki leolam chasdo. Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his steadfast kindness endures forever. Let Israel now say that his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his steadfast love endures forever. Let those now who fear Jehovah say, for his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called upon Jehovah, and Jehovah answered me with liberation. Jehovah's on my side. Look, let's go down to verse 28. You are my God, and I will praise thee, my God. I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his hesed endures forever. Go to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. All right, now, in context, these are priests and Levites. Listen to this, what they're going to say. Verse 11, Ezra 3, and they sang responsively in praising and giving thanks to Jehovah because he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. It goes on to talk about all the people praise Jehovah with shouts and so forth. This is something to shout about. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Now, I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to have them in your notes. 2 Chronicles 5:13. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. 2 Chronicles 7:3 and verse 6 as well. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And there are more. You want to be thankful? You feel like you don't give thanks enough? Think on this. Meditate on this. Contemplate. Consider that the reason you can even approach Jehovah is because his Rav Hesed, because of his abundant, steadfast kindness towards those who love him and keep his commandments. Everyone in the biblical literature recognized that this is the very nature of God, and they rested upon this idea that because God is steadfast in his kindness, that they could approach him. So essential. His goodness is directly associated with his kindness. You take his kindness out, and it doesn't work. The only reason, it's what makes God good. So people can talk about God is good all they want, but this is what makes God good. It's what everyone in the Bible recognizes because of his kindness. Now look. Look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 3. 63. Verse 4. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Steadfast kindness or loyal kindness is better than life. In other words, it's the reason that David praises Jehovah, because his loyal kindness is better than life. Look at Psalm 69, Psalm 69, verse 17. I knew that this would be a lot of passages, but I want to stress the importance of this word and how it's used so many times. 69:17, hear me, O Jehovah, for your love is good. Turn towards me according to the multitude of your compassion. So this idea, because good is... Let's see, because good is your hesed, and great is your compassion. Now, one more. Look at Psalm 109, verse 21. 109:21. But do thou for me, O God Jehovah, for your name's sake, because your loyal or your steadfast kindness is good. Deliver me. So in other words, God is good because he is Rav Hesed and his Hesed is good. This is like double good. Hesed is good, and because God is Rav Hesed, Jehovah is good. You see the connection? It's not just that God is good, but this is the why behind the goodness of God. Now, there are some benefits to God's chesed that I want to make sure that you understand. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And we're going to talk about this during the dialogue, and I want some of you to send in your comments about this. Verse 6, Psalm. Remember, O Jehovah, your tender mercies and your truth, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to your loyal kindness. Remember thou me for your goodness' sake, O Jehovah. You see his idea again. He's appealing to God to not remember his sins or his transgressions. Remember, we're associating God's chesed with the forgiveness of sins. So he's saying, look, if I'm bringing me to be judged, don't judge me according to me, what I've done, but rather side on your quality of loyal kindness. Look at Psalm 51. David really understood this. In Psalm 51, after committing the horrible crime against God's way, he has, you know, this famous psalm. Everyone knows Psalm 51. But look at verse 3. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your steadfast kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. See, he understands that the only hope is that God would weigh in a scale but side heavily on our behalf with his loyal kindness. Psalm 109. Psalm 109, verse 26. Help me, O Jehovah my God, save me according to your chesed, that they may know that this is your hand and that you, Jehovah, have done it. Now, the next to go quickly, go with me to Psalm 119. This is an acrostic psalm. It's called the longest chapter in the Bible. 8 stanzas each, 22 sections make up Psalm 119. And if you look at it in the Hebrew, the first 8, each line, every letter begins with, or every word begins with the letter Aleph, the first 8 verses. You go to verse 9, In the next eight, they all begin with the letter Bet. Now, some of you might know this. Even in an English Bible, if you pick up most King James Bibles, you'll notice that in Psalm 119, it has Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, you know, all the way through. That's what that's trying to preserve for an English reader, is that David or Psalm 119 is this acrostic, and it's you can't show it in English. But, all right, so I'm going to go through a few things about Hesed in Psalm 119. Look at verse 26. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you did hear me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. All right, let me see if I'm looking for the verse in Hebrew. Sometimes it's different in English. All right, look at, let me make sure I'm not off by one. Look at verse 41. Let thy promises of Hesed come to pass for me, O Jehovah, even your salvation according to your word. So he's talking, he's associating God's Hesed with salvation. Look down at verse 76. Let your steadfast love, your Hesed, be my comfort according to your word, so to your servant. So the idea again, he's asking God, his Hesed will bring comfort. Look at verse 88. In your Hesed, spare my life, so I shall keep the testimony of your mouth. Verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your Hesed and teach me your statutes. 149. Hear my voice according to your Hesed, O Jehovah. Revive me according to your judgment. And finally, verse 59. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Jehovah, according to your Hesed. This idea of God's steadfast kindness has the ability, not only is it associated with the forgiveness of sins, but the biblical writers associate it with the reason that God is good, and it also has the power to revive one to life. This is because God, his goodness, is that strong. So listen, knowing that Hesed is something that Jehovah delights in, that Hesed is something that Jehovah desires more above everything else. Knowing that that Hesed is part of what is used to describe God's very essence. Knowing that it's something that God does or makes for those who seek to follow his way, keep his commandments. Knowing that Hesed is associated with forgiveness of sins and with salvation, that it's everlasting, that it's good, how should we respond? How should we respond to God's Hesed? Look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31. In verse 8, I will be glad and rejoice in your Hesed, because you've considered my affliction. You know the troubles of my soul. He goes on to talk about the very reason he will be glad in Jehovah's Hesed. See, the reason that God considers the affliction of the afflicted is because his steadfast kindness, his loyal kindness endures forever. So we rejoice in it. We hope in it. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And verse 18. Behold, the eye of Jehovah is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his chesed, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for Jehovah. Now look at Psalm 147. I'm about to close. Psalm 147 and verse 11. Jehovah takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love or in his loyal kindness. That's a pretty good one. Jehovah takes pleasure, delights in those who hope. Now, you remember over the past few weeks, we've talked about several key passages. I'm going to make one more push through a few verses to wrap this up, but look with me to Micah. Go with me to Micah 6. You know this passage, but based on what we've studied, I want you to look at this. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the Most High? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will Jehovah be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's told you, O man, what is good, and what does Jehovah ask of you? But to do justice, to love chesed, you see that? To love chesed and to walk humbly with your God. You want to know what God really desires? What is God asking of us? Just as he is Rav Chesed, he's asking us to do justice, to love Hesed, and to walk circumspectly. If we could do that, you talk about more than any library full of theological terms. I think it's important for us to think that this represents the way. Go with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 2, I will sing of the chesed of Jehovah forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. The world is built by love. See, this is a beautiful idea. Yes, God is love, but his steadfast love that endures forever is for those who love him and keep his commandments. I want to close with a passage from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3. And let's go to verse 21. This I recall to my mind, or literally to my heart. Therefore I have hope that Jehovah's chesed has not ceased, and that his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Jehovah is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should quietly hope for the salvation of Jehovah. Think about these things. Think about chesed, the most important word in the Hebrew Bible. Shabbat shalom.